Had a great time visiting my grandkids last week. I fell in love with them all over again, and usually it takes me about 10 minutes on the highway coming home to start crying, and this time I was crying the night before. They're a lot of fun. I'd like to take a moment before I preach here. If you've got your Bible there, open it up to Mark chapter 10. I'll be reading and preaching from there this morning. But I want to take a moment to pray. Those of you that know a new couple in the church, fairly new, Harrison and Kayla Wicks. Harrison had a heart attack just about a week ago, I think it was, just when I had left for Red Deer. And he's down in Kelowna. He had a stent put in. He was about 80% blocked. And so he's doing well, but he had a little bit of a rough day yesterday. So if you could remember Harrison and Kayla in your prayer in the next little while. And also I'd like to also pray again for Josh down in the trauma ward in Vancouver Hospital. Josh is the guy, if you don't know, who got hit a couple weeks ago coming off shift at work. The guy ran through a red light and hit him on his door. And he's doing like, I'm not free to show you the pictures, he's definitely in a position where he needs God's touch if he's going to wake up, recover. He's still on a trachea thing, breathing apparatus, and looks well, other than he's just the brain has just been traumatized too much. And so if he were to wake up, this, you know, their feeling is that's not very good news as to what that would look like. But we have a God who, you know, until, you know that expression, till the fat lady sings, I will not stop praying until God decides one way or the other. So I encourage you to do the same. But let's just take a moment and pray together. Yeah, God, we're about to open up your word this morning. And we recognize that your word breathes life into us. It's not a book. It's not just pages we read. It's not just a fiction story. It's the story of God towards us that we might know you. So God, we ask you to again breathe your word into us today. And God, in that same word, we recognize that, God, there are times in our life when you are the only hope. And God, today you are the only hope for Josh. And we pray, God, that you'd reach down into that hospital with your sovereignty, God, and your will and design, and you would touch his body. God, would you breathe life and air into that brain? I pray, God, the swelling would be completely gone, and you would restore every little teeny bit of those fibers that connect the brain. And I pray, oh God, if you're in your mercy, you could find it to reach down and touch him and restore his life. That would be fantastic, God. I pray, Jesus, that you would be with Ray today and Heidi and the other brothers. I pray, God, you would give them the peace that you said would pass all understanding. That, God, your joy would be so deep in their hearts that they would have the strength, God, every moment, every day, to navigate through this, knowing you're by their side. And God, we thank you for that. We praise you, God. Pray also for Harrison today, God. We thank you that he got in, that it wasn't worse than it was. And that, God, that you are restoring his heart and his body. We thank you, God, you will continue the healing process. And, God, that he will be as good as new. So thank you, God. And would you bless him and Kayla today? Would you strengthen them? Would you just give them an extra just knowledge, God, that your spirit is just filling them right now in Kelowna? So thanks, God. And thanks that we're a family. God, that you love us all. You care for us all. And whatever needs are in this room today, God, I pray that you would meet them by your power and your design. Think of Janet's relative there, Ron, in the hospice house today, and I pray, God, that you would touch this young man. He's so young, God. Would you touch him? God, you can lift him off that bed. But God, in your design, if this is the number of his days, I pray you'd bless the family. And God, make sure that when he goes to sleep for good, that God, his relationship with you is good. It's right. It's finished, God. It's complete. We ask this in your name, God, and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 10, the story is from 46 to the end of the chapter, verses 46 to the end of the chapter. Why do we encounter God? What's the whole point of hanging a banner on the stage? What's the point of us as pastors leading us on that kind of theme for a year? Why do we encounter God? You know, Adam had the blessing and the privilege of actually walking with God in the cool of the evening, however we want to describe it. But he got to walk with God face to face. Amazing. And then sin happened. You know, and sin took that relationship that was face to face and kind of changed everything, didn't it? It separated us from God, from a pure and holy God. And in that relationship being severed, the whole idea of the Bible, the whole idea of Jesus is to restore us to that fellowship once again with God. That's the whole point of faith. If you sum it down and bring it down to that point, it's about Jesus who gave his life that you and I could have fellowship with his Father. We would be restored to that. And that's the whole point of why in our life that we live our days of faith every day, that we might know him. That we might know him. Because he died so that we could. And that we would. And that we would take every day of our life to get to know him just a little bit better. And a little bit more. And a little bit more deeply. I don't want to be that guy that Jesus talked about in the Gospels when it said that the person had cast out demons and healed the sick. And then Jesus on the day of his reckoning would say, I didn't know you. There is nothing more important that you and I can encounter a living God who made it possible that we could even do it. And it's all through Jesus. Jesus dying. What a great songs this morning to remind us of that very fact, of that very purpose, that we could know God. And the great thing about it, and I think one of those new songs this morning actually had a little phrase in there that referred to this, is the fact that he wants you to know him. God wants you. God wants me to know him. He doesn't want us to work through life not knowing who he is or what he's about or having a ability to have a conversation or just a time of fellowship with him. God wants you to know him. Not have to wonder about him or guess about him or is he or isn't he. No, God wants you to know him. And he wants you to know him every day in an increasing way and fashion. In the story of Bartimaeus, in verse 46 there, it says they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho, so here you go, this is great, eh? They're coming to Jericho, and then they're just leaving. There's a lot to be said probably in between those two words and phrases. But here they are, they've come to Jericho, they've done what they've done in Jericho, and they're proceeding to leave Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me! It wasn't, oh, Jesus. Have mercy. There was a desperation in him. He had lived as a blind man for so long. And there's this desperation that had welled up to that moment of knowing who Jesus was and the stories he'd heard about Jesus and what he was doing. And when he heard that Jesus was actually there on the road, he cries out in desperation because what does he want? He wants to see. And Jesus has done it before. Probably one of the biggest things in our North America church culture today is that balance between being passive as Christians and seeking God with passion. Are we passive? Are we just you know, just strolling along in our faith. Whatever it may be, will be. We're quiet about our faith. We limit our faith. Are we people that seek God with all our heart? I'd suggest that Bartimaeus had what we should all have and that we should all keep in our lives, this edge of desperation, that I might know God and that I wouldn't lose that thread in me, that passion in me, that something inside that just wants God more than anything else. There's so much in this life and world that draws our attention and that we hold dearly and we pursue and go after. But why not have that same passion and desire for God above everything else? That in our life, when we get up in the morning, we're desperate for God to be with us. That this day, when I go out into my job or my school or into the world, that I might know him just a little bit more and have that knowledge that he's with me. And I'm not doing it alone. In the church of Revelation, the seven churches that were written to, maybe two that we could pull out today, this morning, when we talk about being desperate over passive, comes in the warning to Laodicea, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do you not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so you may become rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Oh, that we would not be so passive and cold and lukewarm in our faith. The scary part about that scripture is that, you know, the thought that they thought they were rich and become wealthy and they didn't need anything. Oh, may we never say we don't need God in our life. How dare I get up in the morning as a pastor and go to the office and harass Jared as much as I possibly can. And go through the day and make plans and do the work of the ministry. But throughout that whole day, I've done nothing to say to God, I need you. I can't do this alone, God. You've got to be with me because I can't do it. You have all wisdom. You know these people, God. I don't. How dare I do that? Confessed a couple weeks ago, I'll confess today, some days that happens, folks. I get up in the morning and I'm all excited about the ministry and I come running off to the church and I'm excited to be here and I do my thing. I never started by saying to God, you better come. Like Moses in the Old Testament, if you don't go before us, we're not going. And maybe we all should get up in the morning and say to God, you know, if you aren't with me today, God, I can't get up and go. I acknowledge today, God, that I need you. The church of Ephesus, the thing that God had against them or the Spirit did, that you'd left your first love. Maybe some of us could check our affection and our passion for God from when we first knew him and where we are today. Has it become routine, our faith? Or is God still the one that drives everything that's within us and about us? You know, there's different types of desperation. There's desperation that should come for salvation. What does happen when I die? What does take place for eternity? Do I just die and then I just never am again? Or is there something that happens after death, where I actually wake up in the presence of a living God who I must hold my life accountable to? James 4 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one's coming to the Father but through me. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death and that we've all sinned. But the gift of God is eternal life. It also tells us in Romans, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised Christ from the dead and you will be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you haven't believed that or known that, or have thought about what happens after I die, or what happens in the afterlife, if there is one, then I'd be desperate about it. Because the Bible says that unless a man confesses their sin and believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is God, and that God raised him from the dead when he died for their sin, the Bible tells us very clearly that you won't go to heaven. The opposite is eternal punishment. I'd be desperate about making sure I knew which way it was going to happen to me when I died. I'd want to check it out and make sure that if there is something to this, I want to know. There's also a desperation that comes when there's something serious indeed in my life, much like in the Illig family right now with Josh. When a serious need, and Bartimaeus had a serious need. He was blind. He wanted to see. He wanted God to touch him, to heal him. It's like that time when my family in the winter were on that hill and we were lost control of the car and we were going to go over the cliff and there was nothing else to do or say or try to maneuver or get that car to go straight. We were heading for that cliff and all I could do was yell out, Jesus, help! And the rest is history because I'm still standing here. My wife's still with me and our kids survived. There are times in our life, folks, when we need to, there's only Jesus. There's nothing else. And there's got to be that desperation in our life to know that's where we look. That's where we put our attention. That's where we pray. That's who we seek after when we're in trouble or need him. The other night, Friday night, we got home from Red Deer. I had gone to a 50th anniversary dinner at the Redarmos, and when I got back home, my daughter and son had been held up coming from Europe, and they asked me to pick them up at the airport. So I went to the airport at 9 o'clock, and which soon became 9:40 before the plane came. And I got home, and we got to the street, and I just pulled over because I was driving after their long ordeal. I had their car, and I got out and let Ryan take the wheel, said goodbye, and headed up my driveway. And up my driveway, I was just going out of sight of the front yard, and I thought I heard something. And it seemed kind of different. And so I came back and looked at the front of the yard. And, you know me, it's pitch black. I was very brave. And I was looking. It's just something seemed wrong, but nothing seemed out of place. So I walked back to the door, and I heard something again. So I went back to the front and looked out. And I saw beside the leaves I had raked this pile of stuff. And I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't do that. So I decided to go over and take a look. And as I'm going over, I notice it's a whole pile of garbage. And I'm like, well, who in the world would dump their garbage on my yard? Like, come on. And I'm starting to be like this. And I get right up to our tree by our window. And I'm literally, if this is the tree, I'm under the branches. And I'm looking at this garbage. And all of a sudden, I hear the breath and the grunt. And as I look up, and this black mass is on the lowest branch sitting there. It could have reached out and swiped my head. And as I'm reaching up to see that, I'm slowly turning around going, it was that calm. At that moment, I knew that I needed Pastor Jared. Because he would have took care of the situation for me. You know, folks, I don't know what the bear would have done. I don't know if I freaked it out, but I do know one thing. I was close enough that it could have reached out and given me a good wallop. Could have jumped or fallen off that tree onto my head. But sometimes, even when we don't know we need it, God is there. You know, he's with us. And yet he wants us to reach out to him. He wants us to have a relationship with him so that we know that we can trust him. I love the Lord's Prayer, and that part says, give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes it's not about the serious things in our life. It's just trusting God daily with our daily bread, our daily needs. The last thing I kind of look at in the desperation is that we would have a passion and a love and a hunger for God, that we would seek after him and we would know him. Psalm 63 and 42 say, O God, you're my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? That's the fabric of our life? That God, you're my God, and I will seek you earnestly. And I thirst for you, God. I yearn for you. Great command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That speaks passion to me. That speaks desperation. That speaks knowing that without him, I can do nothing, and I am nothing. So many were sternly telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me! And there's lots of obstacles we face, folks. There's disbelief. There's fear of man. There's love of this world. There's laziness, complacency, apathy. There's trials and tribulation. There's just a lack of drive. But whatever the obstacles are, I love that Bartimaeus, when he got up off that thing, that cloak that was around him, he tore it apart so he could get to Jesus quickly. And there comes a time in our life when we constantly have to be taking the challenges we face, the obstacles that separate us from intimacy with God and with trusting God and with knowing God more and having a passion and a first love and a desperation from God, that we would start to remove those obstacles from our life, whatever they are. And you know your obstacles, and I know my obstacles. But that we would start to kick these things and tear them apart from our life, that we might get through to know God. And Jesus stops in that moment and asks that Bartimaeus come to him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. And folks, if you're desperate for God in your life, if you're passionate for God, if you're seeking God, you will find him. He will not hide from you. He will not keep you at arm's length. If you will seek him and be desperate for him, you will be filled with the presence of the living God. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me, find me. So throwing aside his cloak, he jumps up and comes to Jesus. You know what phrase came to mind when I thought of that phrase? The ball's in our court. The decision is ours. The choice is us. What will we decide to do with the invitation that's already been given by God for us to draw near to him? Luke 11 says, I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. What an invitation from God. Matthew 13 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field where a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding the one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, that God would be that to us. If we believe in God, if we have faith in God, if we have given our lives to God, if Jesus is our treasure, then may nothing else replace Him as the primary portion and desire of our lives. If the kingdom of God has come to you and has come to me, may we give everything a second place to Him being first. Philippians 2:16 says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Vain literally means empty. Boy, may Jesus Christ be so important to me that I won't toil in vain and trying to achieve other things in my life or living life for other purposes than for Him. Answering Him, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man says to Him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. That's relationship with God. In that moment, a relationship with God starts for Bartimaeus. You and I can enjoy that relationship every day. That we continue to talk with God, to listen to God, to enjoy Him, to give Him glory and honor. You know, that's why last month we invited you every day to read the Bible 10 minutes a day. If you hadn't been doing it, we didn't want it to be a burden for you to develop a discipline in your life. That's why this month we talk about spending 10 minutes of prayer and meditation every day with God, especially if you haven't been, because it'll help develop a discipline in your life. You know, you're not even hearing about next month, which is we're going to be asking you to fast. And if God says, it'll be for all 30 days. Those that know me and how much I love food will wonder about that. We're not doing it because we want you to suffer. There's a reason why we do these things and lead us a certain way. That's why we have a prayer concert only once a month right now. But it's our ability to continue to grow in our faith and to develop a discipline of knowing Jesus. I don't want you just to pray for no reason. I don't want you to read the Bible for no reason. I want you to get to know God and have that consistency of faith that's growing and building, and your love and your passion and your desperation for Him is becoming the forefront of your life. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, go. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, he regained his sight and began following Him on the road. Oh. I don't know what kind of experiences some of you have had in your life. Maybe you've had an experience like Bartimaeus. But he was blind, folks. Begging for all his life. And all of a sudden, he could see. Isn't that about faith, too? We were lost in our sin, didn't know there was a God, didn't know there was a hope, an afterlife, you know, an eternal life to look forward to. We sang it today. And Christ came out of that grave, which means you and I could come out of that grave. One hallelujah. Do I need to scream it? I think Chad said, somebody testify. Did you come out of that grave? Are your sins forgiven? Do you have all of God's authority and power at work and available in your life? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Are you going to heaven? Whoa! It's your choice, folks. It's my choice. How are we going to live this life? Are we going to live you know, passively, quietly in our faith, you know, not really go after God, just sort of let things happen like they happen? Or are we going to be desperate for God? Let me ask you this morning, are you desperate for God? Is he everything? You know, I heard a thought. I heard a thought from the Spirit this morning. We look at our lives today. Is my life about all this stuff going on in it? The life I live, the work, the school, the stuff, the house, paying the bills. Is my life, is that what my life consists of? And God has this little piece of it? That I just sort of put him in place when it's appropriate, or it's I feel better about it, or I'm emotionally attached all of a sudden? Is it just that God is that piece of a bigger puzzle? Or is God the puzzle? And all the other stuff is just a piece of that. That God is the fabric and the foremost and just the foundation and cornerstone of my life. And all the other stuff just spills out of that. That's really the determination of our struggle in faith every day, isn't it? Is how do we get Jesus to the first place and everything else can just fit into that? That God is more important to me today and spending time with him than anything else I can do. Doesn't mean we don't treat our spouse, you know, well, sorry, I can't be with you today because, you know, God's more important. You know, just you put God first. And then you love your wife. You love your husband. Same with parenting, employers, employees, teachers, students, people. Put God first and everything else comes into place. Are you desperate for God? So God, I thank you this morning. Thank you that you are a living God. Thank you that you're the one who created us and gave us life. Thank you, God, that in our desperation when sin had separated us from you and we were literally going to be separated from you for our eternity, that Jesus, you came to this earth and you took our sin upon yourself and took our punishment and you died on that cross and thereby making a bridge or a way into a relationship with the Father, with God. And that doesn't have to wait till we die. It happens now. We call upon you, we're saved. And when God, we understand the depth of the cross and what Jesus paid that we might have relationship with you, we can understand when we get up in the morning every day that that would become the most important aspect of our life, that Jesus died to give me this day, to give me this life, and that I'd have an abundant life. And that all some things might be hard during the day and I might not always feel physically up to it all. I know that God is with me and he's going to help me through it all. And there's a deeper joy that's so deep within me that can't be taken away because God has redeemed me. God has saved me. God is with me by his Spirit in my life. And I'm not alone. Holy Spirit, I invite you in our lives to breathe some desperation in us. That we would want to know God more than anything else. Let that drive us, God. Birth that in us, God, afresh and anew. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Oh, that we would know you. That we would know you, God. I'm going to open up this altar. We've asked you as a staff to consider giving at least a minimum of 10 minutes a day to pray and meditate and be with God. I'm going to ask you if you would take time to do that right now. And would you fill this altar? Get out of where you are and just take a step. Some of you, it's awkward, but you haven't come to this altar or get it. It's just a way of saying to God, you know what? Here I am, but I want to be more desperate. I want to know you more. So I'm going to come down here and I'm going to take a knee. I'm going to stand. I'm going to just come before you, God, and spend a bit of time with you because, God, I love you. So if it's in your heart today to know God and to become a little bit more desperate for him, I just invite you to come right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't think, well, if somebody else goes first, just come and find a place and let's meet with God this morning. He deserves it. It's not about us. It's about him and what he did to allow us the privilege of knowing him. God, are you more important than anything else in my life? That's what it all comes down to.